Hey, thanks for listening to Made In. This podcast is hosted by me, Jasmine, and my better half, Evie. And we are two Asian Canadian women in Toronto talking about current events, culture, and society moments. We hope that Made In is a safe living room space where you can feel like you're sitting on the couch with us and joining in on the conversation. Thanks for being here. Hi, guys.
Hello, welcome back to Maiden.
We should save that jingle. That was pretty good.
Wow. I mean, I'm just a very musical person, you know?
Yeah, clearly. Actually, yeah, hidden talent or fun fact, Evie actually goes off at karaoke and she's like generally a good singer.
My dad is about that. So I got training since I was young. Like since I could enter a karaoke bar, we were training there. Yeah. So don't worry. It didn't come naturally.
What are you training for?
I don't know. Just like to show people up, actually. That's actually what we have the skills for now. So
love. Yeah. I remember going to karaoke for the first time and this was at the Beaver, RIP, on like a Friday night or like a Wednesday night. And this is, like, when me and Evie kind of, like, first started to get to know each other. And this bitch went up on stage and just, like, built it up Mariah Carey and, like, as, like, it was nothing.
Okay, this is honestly all from my dad. He's just a very musical guy and he loves competition. So, you know, when you're a kid, you just want to, like, be better and always compete. So, anyways, all to say, invite me to karaoke's. It's fun, but sometimes it's not.
It is fun.
It's more fun to have fun. Like, I don't want to go there and just be like singing like these crazy ass things. I can do that in the shower, but it's fun to group sing. So
I agree.
Yeah. It's kind of random if you just like take the mic and just like think that the whole room's yours. Like do that on your own time.
You know? Have your main character moment in the shower and keep
it. Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Would you ever have like a karaoke machine at your house?
I thought about it.
I'm surprised you haven't invested in one. Yeah.
I don't know. I just love like, the karaoke machine in my home makes me feel like karaoke's not that...
Oh, special.
Yeah, like I have to do it outside.
It is the atmosphere. You're right. I mean, I did get Jen like a karaoke mic for a Christmas one year. And I think hands down, that was the best Christmas gift I've ever gotten someone.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Having just like whipping that at like random house parties still kind of creates that like karaoke room environment. But it's not like a big, you know, investment that you made to just have it in your house.
Yeah, my friend actually got me that mic too because they know how much I like singing.
Do you use it?
I mean, I'm like the worst at charging it. So I'll find it and I'm like, oh yeah. But it's fun. I understand like that's fine. Like, you know, karaoke is the best and I want to go back. I still haven't yet. But yeah. You have to do it with like people. And there's just something about like those crazy ass really... They sort of look kind of lame, these rooms. Like not lame, but like just like very...
There are no frills. It's basic. There's no decoration.
Yeah, and I like that I'm not in my house. Like, I need to do things outside of my house. Speaking of outside your house, just came back from LA and...
I left the house.
She left the country, and that's fine. But, like, you need to tell me, because you met up with two people, I think two of people we interviewed before, which is, like, tell me about that cross-country
crossover
Asian connection. Like, that's so cool.
I've been to LA one other time before, but it was with work. So I never really got to, like, didn't get to really experience it. So this time around, and just through the beauty of Instagram, I've been able to, like, stay connected with, obviously, the guests that we had such a, like, privilege to interview, but also just, like, random other, like, Asian sisters that I was able to kind of build a relationship with. So I met up with actually three of them. So one of them name is Kelly. I think she found out about our podcast through like her own Instagram content that she follows.
Cool.
And then she's been such a fan and like always so supportive and just engaging and like really had in-depth conversations, even though we've only like met each other through Instagram. So wow. I really enjoyed that. And then that kind of kickstarted like my entire like marathon of meeting people that really fulfilled and like empowered me. So the second person I met was Sam, who is who works with Sarah Kim, who we interviewed. So she also has a podcast, which is incredible, called Somebody to Me. And she was just so fun. And then we kind of bonded over obviously like talking about having a full-time job that are like super demanding, but also having this
podcast
that we're super passionate about too. So like how do we balance that? So we kind of walked away from that meeting like holding each other accountable to spend 1 hour a week to start off to like do something that fulfills us, or whether it's working on our podcast or something else on our side. So it's nice having like a cross country like accountability partner to like, you know, I don't want to let her down. She doesn't want to let me down. So that was really fun. And that I met her through Sarah, and then I ended my tour. Actually, no, I met four people. Wow. So then I ended up, and then I went for a breakfast with Sarah, and like meeting her in real life, it was like actually I was almost starstruck, because like you and I obviously is like one of our best like favorite interviews that we've ever done, and she's that and more in person. And
I love that. I love that
she chose like this cute breakfast spot that's actually Korean owned. That was really nice to like support. And then when we sat down, she actually like wanted to pray for us, and like I think only like or Christian families would understand, but like when you go to like a Korean restaurant, or when you're like out for dinner with your family, and then your dad like wants to just like pray over the table, which is like such a Christian thing, but also very Korean thing. Yeah. And obviously with like my journey with like my relationship with faith and stuff, when Sarah asked me, I have never felt more like glorified to be able to be in that presence for her to like pray for me, and also prayed over our podcast and just like all of our successes in the future. So it was like honestly like the world stopped, and I was just so in awe of that moment. And then just like continue to chat with her, like she's so incredible and like amazing in every way. So that was really nice. And then I ended the tour with meeting this girl named Angie, who I followed on Instagram because she used to work at Aritzia, and obviously that web of friendship goes so far. She showed me some bomb ass Korean food spots. We went and got kalguksu, and then she showed me where to get seolleongtang, which is like ox bone tail soup. And it was really great. Like I genuinely walked away from that entire trip being so like rejuvenated, almost, of like meeting women in her 30s that are just doing it in her life and seeing where to go. It was like really it was really great.
And people that like you have obviously can, you know, obviously growing up in Asian American / Asian Canadian, going to the six spots, which is like obviously nice to get a local guide, but like, you know, when you want to try like even your food in other places, like Korean food in other places, and LA is like the hugest Korean food scene, or in Korean scene actually.
I literally felt like I was in Korea. Like Jen and I were walking through Koreatown, and you would just see like men in like suits and like going to work, and it kind of, I really felt like I was like in downtown Korea and like in Seoul, and it put Toronto's Koreatown to shame, because Koreatown in Toronto is literally like one strip maybe cascading over three blocks. Like this is like a literal like town inside of a town. Like it was so big, and there were just so many Korean sisters everywhere, and like we really felt like we were in Korea, which was so nice.
That's so awesome. I do want to go on a trip soon, and it's so wild, but it's so crazy to go to those places and still feel like family or kinship through the diaspora. That's the coolest part. Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, I think that was like the most amazing part about it. Like, and I never want to knock down Instagram for like sliding to people's DMs, but like the relationships that I was able to foster through, you know, unfortunately, you know, all the elements that our community went through, and being able to build rapport through that was really amazing. And then to have something positive come out of in those moments, and then like continue to build on that, I really felt like I have so many like connections out west that I never thought that I would. So I do feel really blessed.
Yeah, and I think that really speaks to like we're together as women, especially, I think, as Asian women, or women of female identifying, or whoever. I think there's a really big push to definitely not be a crab in the bucket and to support each other. I think that's really important, especially, you know, today, just today in New York City, there was like cases of seven women, Asian women, being like punched in the face unprovoked, obviously. And, you know, just a lot of the stuff has happened. It hasn't gone away. It's just not in like the news. It's not on the pulse anymore, which means like it's you have to find that news kind of for yourself. But seeing those things is like so unfortunate. So I think it's like really important that like, and I think there has been a big move in this pandemic for us to like bond together, instead of being like it's a versus, or one has to be like more competitive or who's more successful. And I think, you know, that's what we should do as a community. It's not about being the one. It's about like making sure we all get there. So I'm happy you had that experience, though. It looked fun, and you ate amazing food. Yeah. You looked like you were glowing as well.
Something about LA, like really, I was having a good hair day every day, which was really nice.
Wow.
But dude, LA bamboozled me, because the week before I went, was so warm and everyone was tanning. So I literally only packed going out clothes, like small top, big pant combo.
Little tops.
Yeah, obviously. And then I got there and it was like 6 degrees. And I only brought one sweater. And this is the same sweater that I brought with me to Chicago over the holidays when I was stuck there for extra days. So when I say I am never traveling with this sweater again, I don't even want to look at it. I don't even want to know that I own this sweater. I can't wear it ever again.
It's like a trauma sweater.
100%. Like, no, thank you. I don't want to see it. But it was really cold, but towards the end it did get warmer. But one more person I forgot to mention was I met up with Matt Brooks, who we interviewed as well.
Yay! Yes.
A hoot. He was such a cherry on top, exactly the same in real life. We had so much fun. So yeah, that is my overachieving networking session of my short stunt in LA.
Yeah, that's actually crazy. Kudos to you for always getting the connect going. You know, like, I think that going to IRL, like, before this pandemic, I think going IRL was, like, I used to get anxiety about that. Like, it's not, it's not, like, I'm very selective about who is able to see me in certain times. Just because I have to get very mentally prepared. Like, it's just, like, I can really talk a room off and I know how to do that. But I personally am, like, loving my personal space now and I know that more. But I also miss it going out, and also just think people are kinder these days. Like they're, or maybe I'm growing up to the point where like I don't care about things being hype, and I don't care about like showing up like I'm doing all this stuff. Like I'm doing stuff. I know I'm working hard, but it might not be something that's like on their radar. But like it's just so much more than that. So like I personally am just like way more open about just like meeting different people, whereas before I just like I hated the scene, and so like I was just like so crazy. But I think that's a yeah, I was just like, I'm not in the mood to one-up one another at, like, a cool bar and, like, a busy place. Like, I don't even want to do that now, but it's just, like, now I just go there without even thinking, like...
You have to work the room, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to work any room. So,
that's amazing. So true. I feel like, yeah, in our, like, mid-20s, especially in, like, a city like Toronto, any party you go, you see the same people, you're always trying to one-up each other about, like, how busy you are, but that was also, like, the era of, like, toxic hustle culture that I think we had, and like all these like hypey like clout chasing moments, and like I think everyone's definitely guilty of it to some degree, but I agree with you in your sentiment that like as you're maybe getting older, or like not to like age ourselves at all, but like I do feel less pressure to myself to how to act in those spaces, and also like not really care. Like I do think that it's a combination of all those things, and yeah, the fact that we didn't get to be social for like 2 years, now I like just wanna be so social and like take every opportunity. Like I went ham when I was there in LA, like because I was trying to like be East Coast time to like do some work if I needed to, so that I would wake up really early, but then I would stay out until like 10 p.m. there, which is like so much for the EST. And girl,
for you, yeah, for you,
Jen and I went out to a party and we stayed out until last call at 2 a.m. And
no, not you.
I know, who is she? But it was actually really fun. But in the past 2 days, I completely felt wrecked. My body is like failing on me, and to a point where I didn't even work out. And you know how like important that is for me.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you're going to get back to your stride. I think you deserve a little break. It's been obviously, you know, there's so much stuff going on all the time. And I really felt like that kind of crash, even though I didn't go anywhere and I didn't go wild, but like, it's just been so constant. And obviously we're talking about this invasion of Ukraine, and it's just a lot of news to take in,
so much,
while simultaneously understanding there's so many layers at the same time. So like, I don't want to like touch on this for too long. And yes, you can stand in solidarity with anyone who, you know, who's vulnerable, the civilians and everyone who's part of this casualty. It's awful. Mm-hmm. It's definitely awful. And one thing I would also want to emphasize, that you can do that while also caring about and knowing that there's obviously racial discrimination at borders, and obviously refugees, being able to recognize like people who are Black or people who you know are not white or the predominant race, especially in the West, is gonna face a difficult time at the border. You know, like we talk about that here. Like people are gonna come to Pearson Airport. You know, maybe I'll even have an easier time. But if you're Black or you know are from countries like Afghanistan, they're gonna give a second look. Yeah, so I think like as like stand in solidarity, and I think that's really important, and stand with solidarity with people who are the everyday people impacted by these things. Mm-hmm. But also, it's also fine to also recognize that, you know, you need to also understand the layers of how things work in terms of like if people, let's just say these African students are trying to go home, there's gonna be a barrier of just understanding and that kind of stuff. So all that to say, it's like, what I've seen so much on the internet is such a black and white picture of everything. And of again, I have to emphasize 10 times, like, social media is a flattening device and it's such a mind killing device. And meanwhile, like, of course we have time to express really, you know, our inner thoughts or whatever, but like a place like Twitter just doesn't need to be monitored like 24 mm-hmm. hours a day. Like, that's just like so,
you'll never win,
demoralizing, and so much crazy stuff. Yeah. And you also need to remember to take time for yourself. Of course, when things hit so close to home, and a lot of friends that are close to me are actually really affected by it, are from mm-hmm. those countries as well. It's just like finding your own space. And even though there's so much grief, it's like leaning on each other to make sure you can express it, even if I might not be the person to understand it the most. Mm-hmm. And also, again, recognizing that there are other sorts of disputes all around the world with the same, like not the same, but similar things where there's invasions and there's people losing their land. And it's not that we don't put a light on them, but we just make sure that we know that. Because a lot of the discourse here was like, this is the first war I've seen on social media. But I'm like, well, it's not. But it's just like, what do we pay attention to? So that's all I want to say about that. Because I honestly, the amount of brain cells I've lost like this week and 2 weeks, and there's so many people doing great things there, it's not about that, mm-hmm. but just like how people can talk about like stock prices failing when there's a full ass war going on and people dying, like I don't have the brain capacity to even get into that space. So yeah,
that's so interesting you bring that up, because I actually got an email from my bank, RBC, being like, hey, during these difficult times, like, we just want to make sure like your stocks or your investments are okay. And I'm like, that was the last thing on my mind. Yeah. Well, also, I'm not the most like financially literate person, but like I never thought, oh my God, there's a war. My EFTs, like that's, I'm not thinking about that. So I thought that was really funny. But you're right that there has been so many invasions and other casualties like this, like happening, but maybe just didn't get the CNN like golden hour coverage, and that's really sad too. And yeah, to your point that there's so many layers to this with the refugees, but then also obviously government relations and like the civilians like living there and all of that, I think there is an element personally for me, just with all the things that are always coming at us, there's an element like dissociating in certain things, and like I've consciously have had to like unplug and like maybe not listen to every single podcast coverage about this one topic because I am recognizing how much it consumes me in a way that's not necessarily healthy. And I don't think it's to a point of ignorance, or I'm not, you know, pretending it doesn't exist and like closing my eyes about it, but I think it is important to like monitor the information that you're consuming. And maybe that's like really privileged of me to say, but just it's being careful about the energy that you're consuming subconsciously or like whatever. I think it is really important too.
Yeah. And also like, I think an overload will like, it turns your mind. Like I think like without like vetting every single person, which takes a long time, it takes a very, very long time. Even people you might have, you know, perhaps followed for a long time, like you need to see how they're an expert in this, you know, like it's, so it's like a lot of work, and it's not to ignore it. I think it's good to see all different types of mediums and what's happening, but I think there's just so many layers, and it, especially for people where it affects them so personally in terms of the fact that they've also been, you know, refugees and people who've here are now, and like it's so traumatic seeing it all over again. Everyone I've spoken to who, you know, close friends that have faced those kind of things, they stand in solidarity, of course, with like the civilians and people losing their land and people feeling like, you know, all these types of ways, but also they just want to recognize that like, just because you say that obviously this is getting a bit more attention, it doesn't mean you're not with the people. You're just recognizing that the real state of the world is that there's so many things happening at the same time that we need to like be more conscious. This is not the first thing. So anyways, there are a lot of ignorant things, like literally the first week that came out, like, you know, media is super white, and a lot of the American, even Canadian broadcasts were like, oh my God, these people look like us. They drive cars like us. And I was like, bro, you're
like, they need to be saved. Like what? Just because they look like you, they're more worthy of human life than like someone who doesn't look like you.
Like, I don't know what you think a place like Afghanistan or anywhere else looks like, but they drive cars too. Like we all fucking driving Toyotas or something like that, right? Like, so it's a really like a lot of weird stuff coming out of there. And it's just like, you know, for a lot of friends of Vietnamese background or even Korean background, who that is a very more recent thing with their own parents and stuff like that. It's not an easy thing to just take in and see how some coverage was like this and how some coverage was like mm-hmm. that. So all that to say, you can stand in solidarity. There's no problem. Just recognize that there's also other systems about it. And so mm-hmm. just as you're like, you can be strong in your conviction in that way, but you can also say that, and it doesn't have to be a versus. Not everything has to be mm-hmm. a versus. And so that's the main thing that I just like wanted to take away, because like people are just saying, if you bring a new point into it, it's like becomes a side, and that's not a side. That's just like a thing you can think additionally. So mm-hmm. it's just been really hard, and I think everything should be like really nuanced and taking the time off your best way, which me and you obviously go into, you know, Korean dramas and other things. And yesterday I did like an entire, like I just cooked and I just like made a TikTok about it, but I was cooking, and like all those simple things are so needed. You know, you cannot be expected to constantly be on the pulse, and that's a message to myself and a message mm-hmm. for me, but also other people out there, because I know it's hard to grapple all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think finding like pockets of happiness, or like, yeah, going back to basics of like cooking and like fueling yourself, or like doing things that make you happy. One thing that I haven't been able to like stop crying about this week was, was the SAG Awards like televised, or was it like,
yeah, but it was so like, I think it just like took the back burner, which is fine, there's stuff going on, but yeah. I like felt over emotional. I felt at that moment too. Mm-hmm. Describe the moment.
Okay, well the video that I cried the most is, it's like a video of Hoonie just won like best actor, breakout star, or whatever at the SAG Awards for Squid Games, and then Sandra Oh and Greta Lee goes to congratulate her, and they're all crying, and then you can hear Greta being like, she's like, oh, like, don't cry, like, it's okay. And then she's, the way that she says it in Korean, though, like, I started crying. Aww. Because just like hearing her say, she's like, ah, urjima, which just means like, oh, like, don't cry. And that's like an older sister, like, you know, caring for the younger ones. So there's like a really respectful, like, hierarchy of like elders looking out for the younger kids in Korea. So that sentiment was beautiful. And then when Greta goes to congratulate her, she goes, 대한민국 만세, which is like Republic of Korea, like a chant that we do to like pride in Korean. And she says that in the background. And like, when I heard that, I started bawling my eyes out too, because like, obviously like her, Hoonie's like emotions of winning was so raw, and the way that she wanted to communicate. And like, it's so true. Like, she was a beautiful, stunning model. Sure, she has like pretty privilege or like whatnot, but like the way she described, you know, even like a year ago, I used to watch everyone that's in this crowd on a TV screen, and now I get to be part of that. It's like, I could feel the overwhelming like feeling that she had. And I thought it was so powerful and beautiful to see in a one award show.
Yeah.
Three fucking Koreans that are like congratulating each other and can celebrate that. Like, I'm getting like emotional talking about it, because it was just so like incredible to see.
Yeah, I didn't even know like those phrases in Korean. So I think thank you for like letting us know. And also, there's something so like powerful about like people who have moved out to like the diaspora, so America, and they're doing it there, and then, or Canada, which is where Sandra Oh is born, slash she's Korean though. Like, there's still a vein. And so like, I think we were talking about this last time, where like people don't understand why we always constantly look out, anything from like food to snacks to small things that are like little moments of who we are. Like, we always want to try to get that, especially as diaspora kids, because we're like, we want to be accepted, and we want to also see, that's our roots.
Yeah,
and this is like literally crossing a bridge between like people who, you know, are from your home country, and then now you're in a new home, but that's still your home country, and like coming together and winning together, like that's crazy. Like, that's something
so beautiful.
Yeah, it's so hard to imagine. Like, even 2 years ago, it was hard to imagine, you know, it was so hard to imagine something like that happening. And now, you know, they've really broken barriers. And this is like a sentiment to, hey, like, you better invest in this stuff, you know, invest in these artists, and don't use country or language as a barrier.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the best example is Netflix. Keep writing us that K-drama check. Like, we are so abundantly like blessed for the K-drama rotation that we have right now.
So blessed.
Yeah, so blessed. I can't even keep up. Like, I feel so overwhelmed, especially because I just started watching Snowdrop on Apple Disney Plus. So not only do I have entire Snowdrop series to watch in the back burner, we are blessed with 2521.
So
good. Nam Ji Hyuk has never been better. It is blowing Dosan from Startup out the water.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Hedi, who plays like the female character. She's just so, like, her acting is very natural, and I feel like she doesn't look like she's acting, but she plays her character so well. And I've never seen her in another drama except for that Handmaiden movie, which is, like, a really intense Korean movie.
She was amazing, though.
Yeah,
she was amazing,
but very, like, sexualized and dark role that's not typical of Korean, so to see her in this light was, like, a bit pivot, but I really loved it. And then we also have 39, which is, like, I think it's, like, the best show for, like, our generation to watch right now, to, like, look forward to what's going to be, like, in our late 30s. But I know you feel, like, a personal connection to 25, 21. Like, how would you describe it? And, like, why do you think people should watch it?
Okay, so basically it's a story that takes place in the 90s. So you get the best of the 90s fashion.
So good.
The vibes, the colors.
The music. And anyone attitude. That's like a 90s kid in Korea, like the way they use the graphics for what's shown on TV or like even their intro, it's like so like 90s Korea. And it makes me very nostalgic.
And also just like an era of reading manga and like comic books. Like there's stores like that. So that's like I remember loving reading that. Obviously, we don't have stores in, well, we had smaller ones like Pacific Mall, which is like a Toronto mall, basically, or an Asian mall. But yeah, no, the reason why it stands out so much to me is like, of course, I love that aesthetic. I think that is a beautiful aesthetic and very nostalgic. Immediately like throws you back, even though I didn't grow up there. Just like a connection of feeling like you grew up in the 90s. But like the biggest part of it is like I really love the storyline. It's never, it's not just like a quick romance. It's not like a quick kind of thing. It's so, it talks about like a financial crisis in the 90s, basically.
IMF
and how two people experiencing it at the same time can feel so different about it. So one of them is like a high school student who has no cares in the world. She only loves defense and, you know, IMF, economic, like literally downfall for every industry, cancels her fencing club at school. And she thinks it's the end of her world. Like she's crying. She's bawling. She's like the most upset. Her dream is gone. Meanwhile, we also have this other character who basically is like a 2 years out of graduation from high school, wasn't able to finish college and basically family went entire bankrupt.
And he was a really rich kid.
Yeah. And his dreams are just gone because he can't see his family. Everyone is like in hiding. And so it's not that he even had reached his dream. It's that he got everything taken away from him. So you can see how these both these characters come together and they motivate each other. So like you have this young high school girl who just wants to fence and become a hero. And she's lucky because she has a situation where she's still okay and can survive with her mom. But you have this other guy who has never seemed to be happy for the past 2 years since this has happened. Has never had like a smile on his face, and what him watching what she is passionate about, like, you know, I want to win fencing, I want to win. And she's someone who's just like puts her mind to it and she does that. It inspires each other. So it's a very like unusual and fun friendship, which I find like, you know, when you talk about things that are happening to myself or anyone in the world, like you can see it really sad. And there are situations that are sad. You should embrace it. I think that's fine. And that character situation's the dude is very sad. But at the same time, there are so many people around you that could uplift you. Like seeing them being so, like Jazz, you're kind of like that. You're always goal setting, right? So like you're making me feel like, you know, things are still possible no matter how like down I am in situations. And that's really what spoke to me because I, as you know, I mean, I don't know if anyone else, but I'm like extreme pessimist because of everything in my like my life, my job, like it's everything is so sad all the time. But like seeing Jazz cooking or seeing Jazz you do a snack do. Time or even like other friends or even my partner who's an ICU nurse, like literally like the worst job, comes home and finds a way to be happy and have fun, like those small things,
the Leo energy,
exactly, it gives me life, which I feel from that. It's like maybe, you know, my worries are not that they're small, it's that you should recognize them, but there's so much more to look forward to. So that's why that drama is amazing, and it gets better and better, and there's a more about like friendships building, you know, rivalries, but that is sent, that in essence is why those two are people are coming together, which I thought was like, you know, if you looked at it from afar, you're like, this is kind of weird. Like, you know, why is this older dude hanging with a high school girl, even though they're only 4 years apart? But in that situation, and it's not that they're like lovers or anything, they just needed each other's friendship very much, which is really a sweet thing.
Yeah, what I did like is that it's not a typical K-drama where it's so evident that like the main male lead and the female is gonna like get together romantically. I'm not up to date with the latest episodes, but I feel like this storyline can go either way. I don't need them to be like romantically intertwined with each other, but I think the genuine friendship that's happening, and of course the fact that both of them are so good looking helps as well. But yeah, I am genuinely liking the female friendship dynamic that are kind of frenemies, but also like toying with like, you know, insecurities you have as like a young teen, and yeah. also seeing like how, cause like we experienced it too. Like when you and I graduated, we were kind of going through a recession too. So like getting a job in our time was really hard. So kind of seeing it from the 90s as well, when they couldn't even graduate university, and like looking for yeah. jobs and like that environment, like resonates with me too. So I am really excited. I think it shot so beautifully. I think, okay. So Susan told me that she bawled her eyes out watching like one of the episodes. I haven't gone there yet. So I'm getting my tissues ready. But yes. I think another show that I'm really excited about is 39. And it's like Hedy from Crash Landing Onto You is in it. And also a girl from Hospital Playlist is in it, which I never really got into, sadly. But you're further along in it for me as well. So tell us what 39 is about.
Okay, I mean, I think you're done episode one. I'm not saying that I can't watch this. It's watchable. There's sad parts of it. You don't like it? No, I like it a lot. I love okay. their dynamic. It's, every drama is a little bit sad, but it mm-hmm. is pretty sad. Okay. But it's basically about three friends who found each other basically wasn't even through rivalry, just like just by like circumstance. It just mm-hmm. happened when they were young in high school. They just met up and they all were together. Your main person, the Crash Landing on You actress, she is, I don't know if it's a dermatologist. She's a dermatologist. Like, she's really successful. She owns a
really famous, like, clinic.
Yeah. And then her friend is basically in some acting kind of... She's an acting... Like, she's an
acting coach, but also does, like, editing or something. Something in the entertainment industry.
And the third friend works in, like, skincare. So, basically, at, like,
Skinceuticals, a department.
Sorry. She knows all of it. Yeah. Do you want to just explain it? Like, you can explain it.
That's basically it. So, it's, like, a dynamic of three friends. And they go through, like... boy relationship issues and I don't want to give too much away because it actually is like really beautiful, but I'm not that far in. But from what I gather, I do see like a sad arc coming soon. I'm guessing there's a sad arc. Someone's maybe dying, I don't know, but it's really beautiful seeing friendships in late 30s going to their 40s and how that formulates, because I feel like I personally, now that I'm in my 30s, I don't know, there's no one I can look up to see what the 30s include, because there are so many different life-changing moments that you go through with friends. In your 20s, there's so much representation on every media platform.
Yeah,
so true. I that's why I'm really gravitating towards it. But I do, like you said, like the friendship dynamic, I like that there are scenes when the girl would be like brutally honest, be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you don't deserve this. And like calling her out, but then like quickly recovering and just like, you know, I'm saying this because I care about you. So like removing that 20s bullshit when you're like, don't want it to be honest with your friends, like that, I find it really refreshing.
Yeah, no, that definitely is apparent. It's funny because it's like, watching this show, it's like people in their 30s turning 40. It doesn't change. There's so many thoughts like, man, I used to be so young and fun. Like, you can mm-hmm. see that's an ongoing theme. They're like, let's go drink. Let's go get wasted. And then they're obviously, their hangover is like 10 trillion times as worse. But like, it never escapes a person that they want to have fun. Like, that's the one thing that like, I guess, you know, when I was like a teen or even like early 20s, I was like, man, people get so boring after 30. I mean, it's really...
I take that back.
But it's really evolving. Yeah, I feel bad.
Like, I love being in 30s. I think... And everyone I talk to that's in their 30s, they're like, wait until you get to 40s. Wait until you get to 50s. Like, it just gets better and better. And I genuinely believe that.
I agree. And I think we just got to watch more. Both shows are so well written where there's nothing obvious. It's just like dialogue so real that you would say it to your friend and you're like, wow, like they just like used it in the show without being like, and this happened, or I'm asking a weird question to give plot. So it's so natural. Both shows, like, great acting chops, great writing, and both on Netflix. So no one has an excuse to be like, well, I don't know where to find this drama.
We're busy. Oh, I also need to watch Love is Blind season 2. It sounds awful. I think I can kill it in one day, so that's why I'm giving myself the time to do it. But did you watch it?
I can't watch those, but please watch it and give me summaries. That just trends every day. I just need to know.
Don't you think we should watch Love is Blind Japan? I feel like that'd be really interesting.
I'll watch it, but I have a feeling.
I think you're going to hate it. I'll watch Love is Blind 2, season 2, and then I would love to watch Japan just to get like the feel of it, and then I won't make it through the whole thing.
No, that's fair. Guys, thank you guys for joining us again. We try to fit that in a little packed moment, but you know us, we like to ramble.
Yeah. But I mean, I hope you're taking away some notes on what TV shows you should watch next, and then we'll be back soon.
Yep.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Made In. Email us at hi@imadein.com. We're also on Instagram and Twitter @imadein_. Thank you again.